Blog Talk Radio.
Heaven could be a wonderful, very special, beautiful gift. Heaven sent me a very wonderful, supernatural, special friend.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Introduced Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you back tonight. It is Monday, the 20th of February, 2017. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening to us. We have a couple short little things today. I want to come to you, and also I want to share a previous show that we had taped in one of our in-studio shows of me and Pastor Larry Watkins. We're going to share that in the latter half of the program tonight. But to begin, we're going to open up with scripture and prayer and share some information, some upcoming events. Our Man Up event is in the works, and we're finalizing some stuff, so we're going to start putting that out there and tell you a little bit what we're going to be doing with that. Amen? So first, we're going to start with scripture and prayer tonight. Amen? Some of my scripture is going to be Ephesians. Ephesians, chapter number 4, starting at verse number 1. Amen. So the word of God says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit, and the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and you and in you all. Father God, we say thank you today, O God. We thank you for the unity of our body, O God. We thank you, O God, for the triune God, the Trinity, O God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, O God, one in nature, but separate personalities, God. That God has been used, God, to redeem us back unto you, O God. We thank you for the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who paid for the sacrifice of our sins, O God, who paid the price for our sins in his sacrifice on the cross, his shed blood and broken body, Lord God. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides and directs us, God, that sanctifies us, God, that makes us able to walk in obedience to you, O God, because it's not by our flesh, God, but by your Spirit that we are led in our faith, O God. So, God, we continue to say thank you, God. We thank you for life today, God. God, I pray for the brothers, for the men that are listening tonight, oh God, that they will continue to be blessed and be encouraged by the words that we share and the words that we speak, oh God. We're praying for marriages, God, to be reconciled and healed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're praying for relationships from fathers to their children, oh God, will be healed and reconciled, oh God. That men would stand up, oh God, and be the leaders in the home, in the church, and in the community as God ordained them to be. They'll take their rightful place and rightful roles, oh God. God, we're praying for our leaders and our president all the way down to our sheriff, to the court clerk, oh God, to the judges, oh God. We're praying for all of them, oh God, because we know that you have the hearts of our leaders in your hand, oh God, and you can guide and direct them, oh God. But, God, we may not see right now, God, what you're doing, God, but we know that you're in control of all things, our past, present, and continue to bless our leaders, oh God, the ministers, the lay leaders, oh God, the deacons, the ministers, the pastors, oh God, who lead the people, who shepherd the flock of the lost, oh God. And, Father, most of all, God, we want you to hear a prayer tonight that, God, there's an unbeliever out there, God, who has not heard your gospel. And we pray, God, that someone somewhere would speak a word into their life. They would come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And they would surrender their souls, oh God, and be converted and repent, oh God. And be obedient, oh God, to the will that you have for their life and purpose and plan that you come on this earth. Continue to watch over us, bless our families and our wives and children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, amen. Amen. So we thank you tonight for joining us again. We're going to start off with, we have a couple announcements coming up in March. March the 18th of 2017. We invite you to join us for Men to Boys, Men's Fellowship, Jesus Lives Ministry in Hanover, Maryland. You can also go to our Facebook page and get the information there. The contact, the address is 7466 New Ridge Road in Hanover, Maryland, right near the Render Mills shopping mall there. But you can also call, you can reach out to us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk. You'll see the posting, you'll see the link, the address, and time. So that's a monthly gathering of brothers every third Saturday. And the next one is going to be on March the 18th. Amen? Amen. And we have an announcement about our next Man Up event. If you're a regular listener or a new listener or a first-time listener here in Anne Arundel County in a suburb of Baltimore, Maryland, we are going to be having our next Man Up event on April the 22nd, a one-day conference, and we encourage you to come out and join the fellowship. We have five churches that are participating. We're still working on location details. The time is going to be, it's going to be 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday, April the 22nd, and as more of the details get confirmed and locked in, we're going to share that with you. We're going to have lunch. We're going to have three sessions talking about three topics. It's going to cover as husbands, fathers, our character, marriages. We're going to talk about a lot of different things on that day. And we just want to have that opportunity to bring the men together, discuss some issues, answer some questions. The format is going to definitely be different. It's not going to be a sermon. It's going to be more of a group study. So we encourage you to come out and be fed. And we're also going to have toolboxes. We're going to send brothers home with tools that they can use in their personal time for devotion and for their edification throughout the rest of their walk for this year. We're going to plant their seed early in the beginning of this year. In April, we're planting those spring seeds so they'll be able to flourish at the end of the summer. So we encourage you to save that date. And again, we'll have more details coming. You can go on our Facebook page, find them there. And we're excited about it. We have some new churches coming with us, a new fellowship. And again, you know, we get to fly together and more information is coming. Amen? Amen. So tonight I wanted to start off with one of the things that we have here for 2017 for the men that are listening, regular listeners, and if you're a first-time listener. One of the things, there's a lot of challenges out there on Facebook, I've seen it. So what we're going to do here, we're encouraging husbands and brothers, husbands and fathers and sons. For 2017, six things we want to point to encourage you to try and accomplish this year, setting a goal and setting a vision. The first one is to be able to share the gospel with one person face-to-face every month. You know, go out, you know, it could be tracks, it could be someone at your job, it could be someone you commute with. You know, some of us ride trains and buses in the same bus and same train every day, and you see the same faces after a while. So, you know, take time sometime this year, once a month, to just share the gospel. That could be handing out a tract, you know, talking to them, however, whatever way you feel that you can get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. Amen? Number two is be discipled or mentored by another man. You know, be accountable to someone. That's basically what we're looking for. If you know who you are, and you know if you have someone who's really holding you accountable, a friend, a brother that you're in, that you're connected with, you know, look to be disciplined and mentored to take you to the next level. Because again, God is calling us to all grow. Because anything that is born and doesn't grow is not normal. Normal birth in our region is being born again. We're called to grow. So in that thing, we have to be able to be discipled and taught by someone, by another man, or more mature man. It doesn't have to be age, but it could be spiritual knowledge, or have a group of, you can start your own Bible study, not Bible study, the big one. It could be just you and another brother coming together and reasoning over the word, studying the word, and encouraging one another in the word and grow spiritually. Amen. Number three. Disciple a man. Find someone. If you know deacons, elders, pastors, ministers, you know, wherever you are in your walk, there's someone who needs you. There's Paul had Timothy. There's a Timothy out there that you can only reach, that you can connect with. It can be your biological son. It could be a young man in the church. It's someone that you're discipling. discipling another man. Even it could be a brother that's new in the faith. He could be 50 years, 4 years old, but if he's new in the faith, he may need that discipling friendship relationship. So reach out. And in connection with that, build a new friendship. You know, we all have our crew, we have our normal clique, we have our normal whatever. The same people we talk to every Sunday, the same people we fellowship with. But we're looking out today to set a vision on the purpose to make a new friend, reach out to someone. Because one of the things that I remember, you know, when I first came into the body of Christ and came to faith was trying to find some new men just to be men with, just to do things with, to be build a friendship with, build a relationship. You know, and we tend to get locked into our cliques and get into a spiritual rut. We fellowship with the same people over and over and over again. I'm not saying that's bad, but bring someone else into that circle who may not have the 5-6 friends you hang out with, and there's a brother out there that he doesn't have that. He has 5-6 brothers that still, you know, in the world, but he doesn't have 5 or 6 Christian men in his life. So build a new friendship. Number 5 is mentor someone not in your bloodline. Reach out. And then in the mentoring, that's also not also spiritual. It could be professional. Wherever you work, there's young men coming into the workforce. They may have went to college. They may be, you know, all that. You know, when you go to school and go to college and go to training school and tech training school, you know, you could be the top of your class or the bottom of your class or the middle of your class. But when you actually get on your first job, you need someone who's going to show you how it works. We used to call it showing you the ropes or showing you how things are done in the real world. There's a lot of men out there who still need that. And as men in the body of Christ, that's a way for us to build relationships that we can also, they can see our light, they can see how we handle the different ups and downs of the workplace and be able to be a mentor to them. And also be able to, in that, building that relationship, the opportunity to share the word of God and share Christ with them. But we have to have those relationships. Amen. And the last one is add to our prayer time. Add a prayer for Jesus to use us to help grow others. Iron is sharpened iron is a scripture. It's God's word. It's just not a cliche. It's not a theme for a men's group. And it's not just something we use to say we're in fellowship. But pray that God really uses you to help someone grow in their faith. You know, help a young husband, a young father, that he might be struggling. Because anybody out there who knows, your first 5-6 years of marriage can be tough. And if you have a young baby in those first 5 or 6 years, there's challenges there. You know, I understand the pictures and everything else and the little cute things we see. But if you're married in your first year, it's you, your wife, you, his wife, and a young baby, and he's trying to juggle all these things, you need to be encouraged. So pray that God be use you to help you speak into someone and encourage a marriage that's early, a brother that's early in his relationship. And even for our brothers out here who, by circumstances, may not be with their children's mother, those brothers need to be encouraged, too, so they don't give up and they don't get caught up into the system, get caught up into all that entails and battling to see their children. So pray that God uses it to help you grow, help them to grow in a place where God can use them and understand their purpose and that God has a plan and teach them to be faithful. Amen. So those are the 6 things that we're looking forward to. We encourage the brothers who are listening to be part of this year in 2017. And it's not, you know, it's not something we're checking off, but you come back this time next year and see how far you've accomplished these things. Because you may not be able to get them all, but some of them you can. And again, when we talk about relationships take time. Because as you know, some men are just as prideful and hard-headed as you used to be. So we have to be patient and consistent when we talk about reaching men and talking to men. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Larry Watkins, can you hear me, sir? Are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. God bless you, Deacon Farr. How are you today?
I'm wonderful, brother. I'm wonderful. Thank you for joining us, taking time on your schedule and joining us on this Monday night and coming to our live broadcast and just sharing some things. Well, tonight, again, we're going to talk about a couple of things here. Something I always wanted to start our shows off with is the gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we know sometimes there's a lot of folk out there who have not heard the gospel. They've heard a lot of things. They've seen a lot of preachers. They heard a lot of things. But they just don't have an understanding of what the gospel is. So I just that's the first thing I wanted to go to. If you could give us your short, your what is it I call it? Your 10-minute evangelism speech on what must I do to be saved, why I must be saved, and who is that Jesus Christ? Can you do that for us?
Sure.
Amen.
We all have things that we consider moral exceptions. Some would call them sin. Some would call them moral exceptions. Some would call them transgressions, whatever you want to call them. There are things that we've done wrong. We know that God created this world. He created it for us. And because of our transgressions, our moral transgressions, or the things that we've messed up, sin entered into the world. And because sin entered into the world, it separated us from God, because the only thing that God does not like is sin. So because of that, man was separated from God. So God decided, you know, that he needed to bring us back to him. There needed to be a reconciliation, a coming back together of God and man into right relationship. And because of that, he decided that he would wrap himself, in flesh, and calls his name Jesus. We know it to be the virgin birth or the virgin conception. Jesus came and was the only begotten of the Father, or the only Son of the Father, and he was the one that was come to bridge the gap between man and God. And it was because God loved us so much. We were his creation. We were the ones that he created in his own image. And because of his love for us, he wanted that relationship again. So he allowed Jesus to come and to die on the cross for all of the things that we could do wrong, have done wrong, or possibly think about doing wrong. Jesus became the sacrifice for all of those things. He shed his blood. He was tortured. He bled for us. And because of that, he became the atonement for the sin, so that we now no longer have to go through a priest. We no longer have to go through a third party, but we can go straight to God for our forgiveness, for our acceptance, and once again to talk to him. For God so loved us so much that he decided that he was going to give his only son so that he could be the sin for us, so that we could now come to him freely and be forgiven for our transgressions, our moral things that we do wrong, so that we can now have relationship with him, and so that we could experience his love firsthand. That is the gospel in and of itself. What do you think, sir?
Amen, amen. I thank you for that, brother, and I pray that, you know, someone has heard that. It's just that simple. I know we have great preachers and teachers who but the first to come, I just think that the gospel needs to be made clear and plain. And there's a lot to it. There's a lot more to it, because there's a whole process. It's not either, but when we talk about accepting Christ, we're changing our status. Now, change of status doesn't necessarily mean change of behavior. For some it is, and for some there's a process of that, and that's the next part. That's why we always say we encourage you. Coming to faith is one thing, but then you have to be able to be, again, what I was talking about earlier, mentored. And I encourage everyone to go to find a church for the Bible study. And I believe Bible study is a good place to start, because you can always go there. And most of the pastors I know and teachers and elders, if you go to a Bible study and ask a question, your questions will be answered. Then that can help to build your faith. I mean, the Sunday messages are also good, but you know, Bible study is where the place where you can come and ask questions. So we encourage you, wherever you are, to encourage. And then again, when we're going out and ministering and evangelizing, I would personally try to invite people to Bible study, so that they can hear the interactions and hear the people and maybe, you know, hear testimonies. And because that's where you can have that real time of connecting and listening to what's being said. And then the teaching is really going on in Bible study. So, again, we just want to encourage folks to join us there and do that. Amen? So, also, we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about friendships, men and brothers, and the importance of men having friends and why they need to have friends, and to be able to be more friendly. and that importance of keeping each other together and keeping each other motivated. Professor, let me come to you real quick, because I know you're a guy.
Gee, thanks, man. I appreciate you recognizing that.
Yeah. You're a guy. You're a guy. You've been a guy for a while. Amen. So, you know, most men, as we look back on our lives, we all have guys, men, you know, guys we grew up with. We went to elementary, high school, college, played on football teams, basketball teams, whatever. We know what it is to be friends and have relationships. But I think one of the things we have to also talk about is, you know, there's always guys we want to hang out with. We go bowling with our buddies. We go to games and baseball games, and we do things. You know, there was a time we used to play the sports. Then we have a time when we come together and just watch sports, and we build those relationships. But in one of those relationships I wanted to talk about tonight is, are those relationships really friends? Because the question is, do most men that you know, man, did I just say men's? Wow. Do most men that we know, do they have good friends that they can share their joys and their problems with? Because I think that's a new level. And I think that's important that we seek those kind of friends out, that we can share what's really going on in our life and try and get past the superficial. What do you think, sir?
I think that as men, we may have many acquaintances, but we have very few friends. Let me explain what I'm saying. We have many people that we are acquainted with in our life. We have people that we work with. We have people that we see every day on the bus or the train. We have people that we come in contact with every day. And those people may be acquaintances. They may be people that we would say are friends, but yet and still, when you look at the intimacy of the relationship, there's not very much intimacy there. There's just the things that you have in common that you tend to discuss, football, you know, you tend to discuss the sports, you tend to discuss the current events of the day, you know, or what's going on at work or this, that, and the other, or the latest event that you went to or concert or whatever, music, whatever. These are the shared elements that we have in our lives, the things that we have in common. But then when it comes down to the true intimacy of having a friend, someone who knows you, someone who you allow to know you, someone that you open up to, I think that we have very few friends. And the reason being is not because we don't want that many people in our lives, but because we're very guarded in our lives and we just don't want people to know our junk and our mess. We want to be able to put on the pleasing face. We want to be able to have our image and our persona and not have that image or persona tarnished or tested. We want to be able to say, I'm the man, and have nobody able to stand against you to say, you're not the man. And because of that, we open up to very few people. A man, when he's born, is taught that he has to be hard. Stop crying. Don't do this. You have to be the man. You have to stop crying. You don't do these. You don't show your feelings. All of these things are the things that men are taught. Hence, we have a problem with our emotions. We have problems dealing with connecting and intimacy, and most of all, we have problems with that great big old V word that every man hates to say, vulnerability. Because vulnerability in a man's eyes is weakness, and because of the vulnerability of an intimate relationship or a close relationship, we don't want anybody to know our business. We don't want anybody to be able to pluck our whole card. We don't want anybody to have anything on us, and these are the things that hinder us from having that close relationship. Yeah, you may have one or two people that you trust. You may have one or two people that you hold close as a friend, but those are the only two people really that we open up to. And that's because of longevity most of the time. Most of the time it's because of we've known them for years. We've known them for so long. And because of this, we have those one or two friends. But as men go, we really don't make friends. We make acquaintances. We make those buddy buddies. We may make, you know, we have frat buddies or whatever you want to call them. But friends, we have very few. And it's because it takes that ability to open up, to be accountable, to be intimate, to be vulnerable in front of them. And to do that, you know, we really don't want to do that. That's not something that we're taught. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. You know, I agree. That's one of the things. And that's, again, this is what we were saying earlier. I mean, one of the things we want to focus on these relationships is because we don't want men to be out there alone. We don't want them to be long rangers. I know a lot of our personality cause us to be that guy to take on that persona, you know, because sometimes the failures, you know, I'll make it plain. We've been lied upon, we've been backstabbed, we've been talked about, and all of those things tend to make us thicken up our shield, our armor, and try and protect ourselves. But then on the same note, as in the body of Christ, we have to be able to shed some of that, to be able to build up, because again, the thing that we have, you know, the thing we should not have in the body of Christ, because that's when I was reading scripture in Ephesians, and you know, he opened it up with, that we have one faith and one spirit, and we have to be open to that spirit and get in a place where we're going to be vulnerable. We're going to be, you know, honest, and we're going to have someone in that corner. Because one of the things that one of the things that motivated us, well, me and yourself, when we was doing Issues Christians Talk, and the other thing is to be able to get brothers to get past that first impression that, you know, who I am, what I do, how much I make, you know, my favorite team, all that, and get past that too. Because we have a lot of, because loneliness and being alone is a terrible thing. And men, we can be in church, we can be in crowds, we can even be on football teams and all these other things and still be alone. And then it comes out later. It manifests itself in a negative way because we really haven't opened ourselves and made ourselves open because of our past. Because I'm not going to minimize it. I don't want to say it's that easy. But this still is the place of surrendering over to the Holy Spirit and seeking to build those relationships with folks in the body of Christ. And one of the things I want to get your insight on this too is we have that tendency to want to make the pastor our friend instead of, you know, becoming really part of the body of Christ. That the pastor, you know, will do anything for the pastor, will make a connection with the pastor. I'm not saying that's bad because I want to be careful what I'm saying here. But, you know, it was a long time ago when I was in the church and we was at a men's event, and they talked about the danger of you trying to be the pastor's best friend or making the pastor your best friend and not connecting with nobody else in the ministry. What do you think about that, sir? Because that could be a dangerous place also.
I'll put it to you this way. How many shepherds do you know are friends with their sheep? How many shepherds do you know hang out, you know, drink and confide in their sheep? Because what you find is that there are two different levels. You know, a shepherd is there to guard and protect and lead the flock, and a sheep is a part of the flock. So sometimes it's hard for there to be a friendship between the two. I'm not saying that it's impossible, but I'm saying at some point there has to be a division. There has to be some separation. So what you find is although there are different motives that people have for wanting to be the pastor's friend. Some believe that it gives them, you know, rights and responsibilities and fringe benefits for being the pastor's friend. You know, you get closeness, you get to eat first with the pastor and sit down at the table and all those other things. Other people are looking for it because they're looking for different things. They're looking for father figures. They're looking for that confidant. They're looking for somebody, or they're looking to know everything they can on the pastor so they can have the dirt on the pastor and all of these things go along. Understand that when being the pastor is another level of responsibility, and with that responsibility comes a lot of weight that we as members don't understand. And many times it's that weight, it's that torment, it's that separation that has to happen that keeps us from having friends within our own congregation. I'm not saying that you can't do that, but there comes a time when that friendship will be tested, when it becomes time for the separation between pastor and friend, where I can no longer be, well, I'm not saying I can't be your friend, but right now I'm the pastor, and this being the pastor does not account or allow for me to for you to be my friend in the midst of the service or in the midst of the congregation at that time because of the leadership dynamic. So there's a time when it's hard for members and pastors to be friends. And many times pastors won't allow their members to get that close, because then it hinders or tarnishes the image that they have of the pastor. Now, much of this is due to the fact that we have the wrong image, and we look at the pastor and put him up on a higher pedestal than we should. We think of them to be superhuman and without sin, but they're men, they're women, they're people just like us. And we need to accept the fact that they have flaws, they have sins, they have stuff that they mess up on every day. But to do that, we have to then see them in a different light. But to be a friend to the pastor, you see everything, man. You see the good, the bad, the ugly, and you have to be able to differentiate between the two. To do that, that's a hard thing to do when you're a member and a friend of a pastor at the same time. What do you think, sir?
Amen. So, you know, I agree with what you're saying, and that's one of the things we have to guard against. And, you know, it's like you say, you have to be able to look to your fellow members, your body of Christ. We call each other brother and sister. We greet each other brother and sister, but are we truly seeking to build those type of relationships where we know what's going on with each other? We got to be interconnected. Because even if we look at the New Testament, the history of the church, if we look at Acts and we look at the churches, they were connected together because they had no other choice. They were being persecuted. They were being, you know, set upon because of their faith, and they built those bonds. And sometimes today in this 21st century church, and in this Western church particularly, you know, I'll put it this way: not all of us have pure motives in our hearts when it comes to membership, coming to get to know one another and build a relationship. Some folk are. I'm not going to say it's not there, because people, we really need each other. We need to have a community. We all look to be part of, you know, something which is a good thing, which is part of it. But then we have to learn to build relationships and build friendships within the body of Christ, with our brothers and sisters that we sit with in the pews. And I do believe that and that ministering together, that growing together, can build those relationships. I'm not going to say that every family is going to get along. Everybody can get along with everybody. But we need to, as men, we need to be able to have those connections and those relationships, so that we can share the joys. And also, but I think the biggest thing is we have someone that we can share the joys with, because everyone's not outward going. But also those problems, when the things and the pressures of life come upon us, that we know that we're not alone. I know that we can pray, we seek God, but then we need to be in fellowship, in true fellowship, where our lives are engaged with one another. I just had a conversation recently with a brother to figure out, you know, he lives here, and, you know, we all live in the same place, in this local area, Glen Burnie, and for some reason, and I thought the brother lived somewhere else, and he thought I lived way on the other side of town. So, you know, just because we didn't take that time. We were connecting, we were in ministry together, and then we realized, oh, we both live right here in Glen Burnie. He thought I lived in another county over. I thought he lived south of here, because we didn't break through that, you know. I look at it now, and I say, I'm doing the same thing myself, so I'm guilty. But we as men need to be able to break those barriers. And I think that's very important. One of the things that we have to overcome to get past the superficial. Because, again, we have to look at ourselves in the mirror as men and see how we're carrying ourselves. You know, are we, when we go to church, when we go to Bible study, when we go to prayer service, are we slowing it down and taking the time to get to engage one another? And even then, on the other hand, if someone is approaching you, are you approachable? We have to see, how are we taking time to talk to someone other than those that we normally talk to? Because I've said this before on the broadcast and some of the shows and discussions we had. You know, you could watch a minister, a lot of ministries, big or small. Once the benediction comes, you see people gravitate to the same folk. And even if there's visitors in the building, you'll see people gravitate to the same folk and don't greet the visitors after the service. I know we all have that, you know, acknowledge the visitor's time during the service, but after the service, who reaches out, who shakes a hand, who introduces themselves eye to eye, face to face, you know, and makes that connection to maybe start and plant a seed, because all of it is about planting and sowing seed. because people need to make those connections. I think it's important for us as men in the body of Christ, you know, no matter how long you've been there, are we reaching out to the brothers around us? Are we trying to build those relationships, break down some of the things, and get to know folks and build real, real lasting friendships? Amen? You're listening to Issues Christian Men Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Falwell here with Pastor Larry Watkins, and tonight we're talking a little bit about friends and brothers. And do most men know or have a good friend whom they can share their joys and problems in life with? And we just want to encourage the brothers out there to start to look around you. This is 2017. There might be brothers you've known for 10, 15, 5 years, but who's that brother who just came to the church? Who is a new person on your job? Who's someone that you just met in the last month or so? Are you open to be friends with them, you know, to reach out to them, to get to know them? And that way, through relationship, be able to spread the gospel and sow seeds in the person's lives. Amen. So that's why, let me ask you this. One of the things in your experience, you know, you don't have to talk about yourself, but you can just, you know, it's a guy you know, okay? What are some of the things you think that prevent men from really having friends? That really or looking to make friends or whatever. What do you think are some of the things that, you know, that might hinder them and prevent us from doing that as men?
There's some big things that hinder us from making friends. Number one is the big thing is rejection. We don't want to be rejected by people. We've all had people that have walked away from us. We've all had people that have, so to speak, stabbed us in the back. We've had people who betrayed our trust. All of those things cause us to be wary. They cause us to be gun shy, so to speak. They cause us to not want to allow people to get close to us, because if you allow somebody to get close to you, then they have the ability to hurt you, and you don't ever want to be hurt like that again. So one of the first things that hinders us is rejection. The other is again, the pain of somebody betraying you, of somebody betraying that confidence, somebody who had motive, who had a bad motive for wanting to be your friend, and ultimately it panned out that they were there to use you, to abuse you. We're now leery of other people because we expect everybody else to be just like them and to want to use us and abuse us. So we keep people at arm's length so that they're not able to get that close enough that they can hurt us. Number three, we don't want anybody to know our mess. We don't want anybody to know that we're imperfect, that we are not as cool as we think we are. We're not as hard as we think we are. That sometimes I feel like rolling up into a ball and sucking my thumb. Nobody wants to know. Who wants anybody to know that about us? You know, these are the things that we want to hide from people, but yet they're things that we feel and experience. But if anybody was to know this, then they would try and use it against us in our minds. So these are things that again cause us to keep people at arm's length. And then there's just the fact of the sin in our life. Because of the things that I do wrong, because of my weaknesses, because of my insecurities, I don't want anybody close enough to me to know that I got a problem with drinking, or I got a problem with this, I got a problem with that, I got a problem with watching stuff on my computer, you know, I got a problem with going to the wrong places or being in the wrong spots. I don't want anybody to know that kind of stuff. So the best way for me to make that happen is, again, to keep people at arm's length, so they don't get close. And then I can't have anybody telling me what to do. I'm not accountable to anybody. I don't need to be accountable to anybody. I don't want anybody telling me what I need to do or how I need to do it or when I need to do it. I'm my own man. And because of this, I keep people away from me. All of these factors, rejection, pain, bad motives, our own sin, our vulnerability, all of these things keep us from making friends. They keep us from pushing people away. But there's only one real good reason to make a friend, and that's because we need to be there. We need to have somebody else in our lives. The Bible says that if we fall into a hole and we don't have anybody and we don't have a friend, who will be there to pull us out? We'll be by ourselves stuck in a hole. but we need to have some friends. And to do that, we must show ourselves friendly. We must be willing to open ourselves up. And the only good reason to have a friend is because it's not good for a man to be alone, which God said in Genesis. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. I like that because that's true. We use that in marriage a lot, but that goes to look how God created us. God created us for community. God created us to keep each other. That's what the church is. You know, that's one of the things we forget, or we forget the purpose of the church and why the church is again. You know, we go back to the book of Acts. We go back to the churches that were being created and planted. We go back to in Revelation, when he talks about the churches, he calls out for the things he has against them. These were the gathering of the people who were to encourage one another. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he had to write them two letters because of the things that was going on, and he was holding them accountable. These are one of the important things why we need friends. We need those people in our lives, and we should truly, as we mature in Christ, we should look to have these folks. Because we all, as men, we have blind spots. We have areas in our life that we can't see sometimes. We're moving forward. We're doing so much, which is fine, because we're called to do. We're called to be ministry. We're called to put our faith. Because of our faith, we're called to do certain things. But then there's blind spots. Who pulls us back in? That, you know, are we looking after our wives and our home, or are we putting ministry before that? You know, in our marriages, we want to accomplish so many great things for God that our marriages are falling apart. So now we can't be a stable example of marriage to anyone. Amen. So it's a lot of those things, and just again, for my lay person, or I don't want to use it. I just want to say, as our normal rank and file church member, are we giving ourselves over to someone to hold us accountable, to know what's going on with us, to help us grow spiritually, because we can't do it alone. You know, for the brothers out there, I can give you all the sports metaphors. You know, there's position players, and you have coaches who teach. The head coach doesn't teach the linebackers. There's a running back. There's a linebacker coach. There's a running back coach. Basketball, there's a head coach. Then you have the defensive coach who comes in and gives them and teaches them how to do defense, or gives them a defensive strategy. So these are all the things that we need in our life to be able to keep hold us accountable in our walk. Because as we grow and have a skill set, then God can use us in a specific way to be able to. But we all have to have someone in our life that's going to pull us back. And I think the biggest challenge with that is, you know, it's having those men around us, having real people that we're comfortable being with, that we're not putting a facade with, that we can be honest, that we ain't got to be scripture. We ain't got to, every time we're sitting together, we're quoting scriptures back and forth, and you know, we're talking in mini sermonettes to each other and all the, you know, whatever. I mean, anybody out there listening who's been around these kind of brothers knows exactly what I'm talking about. So I'm just going to leave that right there, because if you've experienced it, you know exactly what's going on. But again, as we reach the unbeliever, as we go out and reach the culture, are we reaching out to bond with men to build a relationship where they can come to trust, so they can see the God that we see, that we can introduce them to the Jesus that we know, because we're open enough and honest enough to build a trust relationship with them. Because believe it or not, there's a lot of men. Who are very successful in a lot of areas and doing a lot of things, but when they're very lonely inside, they don't have real companionship and real friends. They may be doing a lot and having great success, but they don't have no one that they can just sit with and be at peace with. And us as men of God, there should be something that the Holy Spirit can say, you know, maybe that brother just needs a friend. We need to get together. Not at a Bible study, not as whatever. Just go and just hang out and start to build it. Because again, as men, we're not going to, you know, I think you said it, Pastor Larry, that as men, we're not going to open up the first time and spit all out. We ain't going to put all our cards on the table. We're going to hold our stuff close to the vest. But if we're persistent and persevere in relationships and be honest and what's the word I want? Authentic in who we are, we have an opportunity to help someone else. And I think that's the greatest thing we can do when we call to fulfill a great commission, is to be able to reach people, right lives, right where they are, and show the love of God within them. Amen. I wanted to read real quick scripture. I'm going to go to Galatians chapter 6, and I want to apply that to what we're talking about, because that's one of the other things for those who are in the faith, that we definitely need each other. But first, let me just say this. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Foley, Pastor Larry Watkins. We're here live every Monday night at 8 p.m. and every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. You can always listen to our archive of all our past shows and rebroadcast by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can also follow us on Twitter. We have a Twitter account now. We're there. We are at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. You can follow us there. You can get the links. We update. We Twitter out devotionals. We Twitter out information coming up of upcoming events and men's events. Also on our Facebook page, Issue Christian Men's Talk, we post upcoming men's events. There's a lot of things coming up here in the Eastern, in New York. New York, D.C., and I think there's one coming up in Philadelphia. Events for men's gatherings, men's teachings, conferences, that we can get involved, that we can go to a place and get recharged, get nourished. And especially for my men's leaders out there, there's a place where you can go, where you can absorb, learn, get ideas to bring back to your local ministry, okay? Because everybody's not a mega church. Everybody's not a 5,000, 2,000 member church. But those, every man in your building is a soul that we should be accountable for, that we should see a purpose for, that we can go somewhere, gain the knowledge, gain the strategy to be able to bring back and be able to minister to the lives of those around us. So there's a lot of events there. If you go to Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook, you'll see the posting for those events. There's a lot of them coming up here in the first half here in the spring. As soon as the weather breaks up and down the East Coast, there's a lot of things going on in March and April. So we encourage you to come. And also, for my listeners out there, Man Up event. We have more in common than we are different. April the 22nd, Saturday, April 22nd, you can go to Facebook, get up details, more details, the details come. We're getting ready to finalize the location by the end of this month, and then we'll start registration in March. That's our milestone to start opening registration in the first week of March. So we encourage you to follow us there. Professor Watkins, let me read this real quick, and I just want to get your insights on it. We're in Galatians chapter 6, and I'm going to read verse number 1-4. And the Word of God says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken by any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load." What do you think, sir? I see that that's a call for men to be able to look out for one another, to bear the burdens of others. What do you say, sir?
You know, the question that we always get in the Bible is, "Am I my brother's keeper?" We know that to be the question that killed his brother Abel. He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, yes, we are our brother's keeper. We are to look out for our brothers. That is our commission. That's what the Great Commission is all about, is to bringing our brothers and our sisters back into the fold. Because we are their keeper. We are the ones that are supposed to look after them. One of the reasons why the church, early church, and you said it before, was so close, if you look in the book of Acts, it was because they had to do everything together. They depended on each other, not just for service, not just to come together for the 2 hours, that you come together, hopefully 2 hours, that you come together on a Sunday. But they depended on each other every day, all day long, for every meal, for every service, for a place to sleep, for a place to hide, for a place for a protection. They depended on each other. And as members of the body of Christ, we are our brother's keeper. We're supposed to be there to provide those things for them, to provide friendship, to provide guidance, to provide help, to provide camaraderie, the fellowship, the koinonia, the coming together, or the forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. All of this is the responsibility of us as brothers, and we are supposed to be there for our brothers. If our brother is walking into a fire, then we're supposed to be there to say, hey, man, stop, and pull them out. If we see them walking into a situation where we know it's going to be harmful for them, and sometimes they don't want us to stop them. They don't want us to help them, but we have to be there to sound the alarm. And if we're not there to sound the alarm, then we have to be there to bandage them up after they bump their heads. So we are there to help restore those brothers, but we also have to be there to be the sounding board. So when they call us at midnight, when they call us at 3 a.m. saying they're trying not to walk into the fire, then we need to be there to say, okay, bro, I got you. I'm coming to get you. Or, bro, let's go talk about this. Let's get a cup of coffee. You know, I know all night Dunkin' Donuts where we can sit and talk. These are the things that we are supposed to be there to do for our brothers. And we have to make sure that this is all a part of presenting ourselves as a friend. Not just being a part of the body of Christ, but presenting ourselves as a friend. This is a part of the ironing, sharpened iron part, where sometimes it's not a comfortable conversation. Sometimes it's not a commodious situation. Sometimes it's some harsh talk, some harsh conversations, and some inconvenience in there that has to help us to sharpen each other. But all of these things are part of being a brother. All of these things are part of being a friend. All of these things are part of being the body of Christ. And this is what we must do as brothers. It's not about doing our 2 hours on Sunday and going home and getting a big piece of chicken. It's not about all that, but it's about being there for a brother when a brother needs you. Being there, and not to say that you have all the answers, but being there just to listen and not being the one who judge them. You know, sometimes we just need somebody to listen to the stuff that goes on in our lives, to allow us to vent, to allow us to get all the emotions out so that we can now think clearly and come to a better understanding. And we just need somebody there to listen to us. And this is what our job is as brothers, but we have to be able to be there, not judgmental, not being the one who says, you know, you did this wrong, and not trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit or the work of the Word of God, but to be there, to be the one, to be your sounding board and a friend, and to have some compassion and some love. What do you think, sir?
Hey, Mr., I agree. I thank you for that, because that's one of the things you touched on. You know, again, brothers, let me say this. You know, we have to examine ourselves. We have to examine who we are. You know, Pastor Barkins, you said something about who you're going to call in the middle of the night. As men of God, you know, as men who walk this walk, who've been saved a while, who are mature in Christ, are we open to, are we going to answer that phone call in the middle of the night? Are we going to answer that call after 10 p.m. or before 5 a.m.? If our phone rings, is our phone even on, knowing that we're in relationship with brothers, we're connected with brothers who may need to reach out to us? Are we that guy? You know, it is fine to be, you know, like you said, Sunday morning, bright and early, shine, and I'm ready. Yeah, brother, I see you. I pray for you. But are we there? And are we there when the storms come? Are we there in those hours when it's not coming? And is our life set up in such a way that we're ready to be friendly? This is the thing that I like to talk about also, because I want to hold a mature man of God responsible. Are you in a place where you're going to answer your phone when someone calls? It used to be back in the day, back when I first got saved, you know, a pastor asked me, you know, who are you going to call if you get a flat on the highway in the middle of the night? What do you have in your phone? Or, well, back then we didn't have cell phones, but everybody didn't have a cell phone. But anyway, do you have a number of someone you know is going to call and they're on their way, period? No ifs, ands, or buts. And are you that guy where someone's going to reach out to you and you up and out, you going, you're going to be there for them? You know, you mentioned it too. Because the brothers struggle with a lot of things. If we're really going to evangelize the world, we're going to evangelize men who have habits that are ungodly. They are going to have habits that are sinful. They're going to have pressures upon them. They're going to have temptation put before them. And are we as mature men of God, as the scripture taught, those of you who are spiritual and mature, are we ready? Are we ready to do the work of ministry where no one's gonna see and hear about it? You're not gonna get an award and you're not gonna get a banquet dinner. But you're gonna save a man's life. Are we now? You may not be there. That's the first thing. You have to be honest and understand. You don't want somebody calling you and you know you're not gonna do it. So you have to understand that, because you know it's nothing less than the brother call you. You see the call. You know, because everybody has call ID now. You don't answer the call, and then find out that brother. You find out later when the sun comes up what happened to him, or next time you see him. You know, I was this, that, and then I tried to call you and I didn't get to you, but his circumstance gets worse when he did reach out to you. But you call him your brother. You call him your brother every Sunday. Every time you see him, it's praise the Lord. I'm just saying, this is something every man has to look in the mirror and determine who he is and where he is. And then again, do you want to be that guy? Do you want to be that man? And then that takes where you are again. That takes prayer. That takes getting to your word. That takes having a new mind and a new heart and the passion to minister, to love one another. All the one another's in Scripture that's talked about throughout the New Testament. Is this who we are as the church? This is more than the men now. This is just the church in general. So, again, we just want to be able to encourage you, to be able to say, you know, look in the mirror, know who you are, see who you want to be. What kind of man do you want to be in the body of Christ? And what is your faith based upon? Because, again, you know, it's one of the things I know for a fact. God didn't save you for you. He may have saved you for your family, but not only your family, because there's someone out there who's only going to be hear the gospel from you, and someone that's only you're going to be able, only you're going to be able to befriend. Your pastor, your men's leader, your deacons, they may not connect with that person. That might be the only person that you can be able to connect with that's going to save his soul and help him grow into a place where he can stand before God and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Are we in place? Are we living a life and being used by God to help bring someone else? Because, again, we know the statistics. We talk about in the show a lot that if we can reach a man for Christ, his family is, I think it's a high number. It's like 99. I'm not going to say 99. It's in the high 90s that his family will come to faith and come to Christ. So if we reach a man, we reach a family, we reach a generation. Amen. Pastor Watkins, I want to come to you real quick for your closing comments. We're getting close to time here. I just wanted you to give a closing comment and closing prayer. And, again, I want to thank you for taking time out your Monday to join us tonight. Amen.
Thank you, Deacon. One of the things that we always say is that we are more than alike than we are different. Whenever a man is going through a hard situation, his response is may vary, but it all comes down to one thing. If you look in the scriptures, and I talk about this often, if you look in the scriptures, you find where David found 400 men and 450 men in a cave, and they were all dealing with the same issues. They were all depressed, they were all despondent, and they were all in debt. So these are the things that, and they all got there, not all at the same time. I'm guaranteeing you that all four of them didn't walk into the cave at the same time saying, you know, we all got the same issue. No, they went through their challenges one by one, and one by one they all had the same reaction, whether it was to retreat, whether it was to run, whether it was to escape, whatever you want to call it, they all ended up in a cave, and it took a king to get them out. We have to understand that we're more alike, and we have the same responses, but sometimes it takes us coming together and then getting with somebody who has the ability to help us to transform and get us out of the cave and make us mighty men. We need to be able to get with God, to accept him for who he is, and have that salvation moment that God can then transform us to become those mighty men of valor. But we have to first acknowledge that we're more alike than we are different. Thank you, Deacon, for this opportunity. I appreciate you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. Thank you again. Just Christian Men's Talk. Join us again every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8:30 p.m. God bless you, sir. Thank you, and good night.
God bless.